No one reported hurt and no explosives found after a threatening note was found on a postal box at the entrance to the Forest Edge condominiums near Lawson Creek on Douglas Island. Juneau Police Sergeant Scott Erickson says a condo resident discovered the note when they got home yesterday afternoon.
It said, "Do not open. There's a bomb inside."
And it was just on one box or the whole entire?
No, it was on the main where the drop mail goes in.
Erickson says the note will be processed as evidence. Prior to opening the box, Erickson says it was also x-rayed to determine if there was anything inside. Douglas Highway was briefly closed to traffic as the Juneau Police Department's fully suited explosive ordnance technician examined the postal box. The condominium complex driveway, Forest Edge Access Road, remained taped off during the entire incident. Firefighters were also dispatched to the scene as a precaution. Erickson says they were called out before 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon and the all-clear was issued shortly after 6:30 last night. The trial of a Hoonah man accused of shooting and killing 2 police officers has been officially moved until the end of January. The judge in the case earlier wanted another opinion on whether John Marvin Jr. is competent to stand trial, and he had already signaled his intention to postpone trial in the case. It was previously scheduled to start next Monday, October 17th. After a hearing last month, Superior Court Judge David George said he wanted an additional opinion on Marvin's competency. His selected psychologist would not be able to do an evaluation until later this month at the earliest. Electronic court records indicate a new competency hearing has been set for January 6th, just a few weeks before the January 30th start of trial. Marvin, now 46 years old, is being charged with murder and weapons misconduct in connection with the shooting of Hoonah officers Tony Wallace and Matt Tokaoka. The incident on August 28th of last year allegedly included Marvin holding officers at bay and refusing to surrender until a day after the shooting. No violation of probation for a defendant involved in a fatal accident at the Brotherhood Bridge. Stephanie Smathers was ordered into court last month because her probation officer found beer in the refrigerator at her residence. Possession or purchase of alcohol could violate her probation under terms of her sentence stemming from the August 2005 incident. But Smathers' attorney Kevin Higgins says there is more than one person that stays at her residence, her boyfriend and another person. There was also video evidence that her boyfriend purchased the beer, not her, and the boyfriend said he was the only person that drank it. Higgins also says Smathers blew clean during a portable breath test, and even the probation officer believes that she's remained clean and sober. During a recent hearing in Juneau Superior Court, Higgins says arguments centered on possession as defined in Alaska law, and Smathers, it was determined by the judge in the case, did not exercise dominion or control of the beer. Smathers remains on probation, 8 years left on charges related to theft while working at a local department store and her involvement in the accident that killed Jody Watson. No injuries reported after a loose rock fell in the Kensington mine Sunday, damaging a water line. Wendy Yang, vice president of Coeur d'Alene Mine, says crews were doing routine maintenance in a main access drift, stabilizing an excavation by bolting rock when some of the rock fell. Yang says the water line has since been repaired. Operations continued normally at the mine, and both of the primary and secondary access routes remained open and available Sunday. The body of a missing boater in western Alaska has been found after a 3-week search effort. From Bethel, Shane Iverson has the story.
The search for Walter Springer of Bethel is over. Search and rescue volunteers from Napakiak located the body of the missing 25-year-old this weekend. Bethel Search and Rescue President Peter Atchak.
That's a sad ending, but at least now the family can put a closure to this one.
Springer had been missing since a boat he was in capsized in the Kuskokwim River over 3 weeks ago. The Alaska State Troopers supported the search for the first week. Since then, it's been an all-volunteer effort. The official search was already called off, but local search teams offered their gas and drag bars to those that wanted to keep looking on their own.
It's the people out here. They're just full of love, and they want to help out. You know, they were really hard at it for the last several weeks, and just kept at it day after day.
According to Atchak, it took not just dedicated searchers. It also took a very low tide to reveal Springer. 2 men from Napakiak Search and Rescue found his body below that village on a sandbar.
That only you can take during peak high tide. And it's got a very shallow, very small channel that goes through there. You know, when the tide was low, our two boys from Napakiak were idling down through there and then pushing their boat until they got to that area where that body was.
The men reported first seeing what appeared to be a body at about 1 on Sunday afternoon. They spent another hour pushing their way through the shallow water before they were able to confirm and call in their findings to authorities. Their discovery does end any hope that Springer made it out of the river alive. Search teams spent the better part of a week exploring footprints and other leads in the land near the area where the boat is believed to have flipped over. Alaska State Troopers have already charged another man involved in the incident. Michael Treat, age 27, of Bethel, was in the boat with Springer. Treat was found on the riverbank with 17 jugs of R&R whiskey. He was charged with probation violation and importing alcohol into a dry village. Reporting from Bethel, I'm Shane Iverson.
Juneau Mayor Bruce Botello is one of three local elected officials from around the state spearheading an effort to resuscitate the Alaska Coastal Management Program. Before shutting down at the end of June, Coastal Management worked with developers, local residents, the state, and federal permitting agencies to review proposed projects along the state's coastline. Botello says it was disheartening to see a program go away after the governor and legislature could not agree on terms to reauthorize it. Now, a citizens' initiative sponsored by Botello, along with Kodiak Island Borough Mayor Jerome Selby and Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly Member Mako Haggerty, would revive the program. Botello says an application for the initiative petition, signed by more than 200 people, was delivered to the Lieutenant Governor's office on Friday.
Our initiative is intended to encourage our state leadership to redouble their efforts, create a credible coastal management program during the 2012 legislative session. And if they are unable to do so, Alaskans will have an opportunity to express their support for Alaska's coastal program November 2012.
The proposed initiative differs from a bill to reauthorize coastal management that was on the table during this year's legislative session. It reverts to the way the program was run prior to 2003, when Governor Frank Murkowski implemented sweeping changes to it. Many local communities opposed those changes.
What we've tried to do here is design a program that we think is most suitable for Alaska. And part of that, I think, is looking at making sure that the permitting process is streamlined, that it encompasses all programs done by our resource agencies, and that it be done in a coordinated, collaborative way.
Haggerty says he was disappointed with the legislative process and thinks the initiative is a better alternative.
We're not just going to be delivering signatures. We're going to be delivering a message that this is a program that the state needs to participate in.
Lieutenant Governor Mead Treadwell has 60 days to determine whether the initiative meets the legal framework to go before the public. At that point, the sponsors can begin collecting nearly 26,000 signatures needed to qualify it for the ballot. Botello says the goal is to finish before the legislature begins next year's session in January. That would give lawmakers the option of passing a substantially similar law or allowing it to proceed to a vote. A resolution authorizing City Manager Rod Swope to apply for state funds to pay for half of a new Mendenhall Valley Library is on its way to the CBJ Assembly. On Monday, the Assembly's Public Works and Facilities Committee sent the resolution to the full panel for approval. The nonprofit group Friends of the Juneau Public Libraries has committed $1 million to the project, which is estimated to cost at a total of $14 million. Friends President Jeff Vogt says it's important to get it done now while state funding is available.
If we let this slip by, our fear is that instead of looking at a $7 million project to the city, of which the Friends have already committed $1 million at least, if we let this slip by at this point in time, it could slip by for a long, long time.
In addition to the Friends money, the city could count the value of the land at Diamond Park, where the new library would be built, toward its half of the project. Applying for the grant does not commit the city to the project. The Assembly will vote on the resolution next Monday.